Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Stop Smoking and Vaping Now, How to Recover from Nicotine Addiction, by Karen Casey. Foreword by Dr. John Duffy. Narrated by Joanna Garcia. Foreword. What everyone should know about vaping. When I first heard about vaping from a teenager about a decade ago, I was not particularly alarmed. I had seen so many different trends come and go and had no reason to believe this would be any different. A short period of time thereafter, my clients began to bring vapes and vaping apparatuses into our sessions. I quickly learned that each cartridge can contain an enormous amount of nicotine. And to be honest, from a teenager's perspective, all the tools that come with vaping seem pretty cool. I suspect that any of us who would have been around when vaping was introduced to the marketplace would have been drawn to it. Most of my clients swore off vaping immediately. Then, within a period of just a few weeks, they would report that they had tried it, but only once or twice. After another few weeks, they were vaping every day. And then within months, an awful lot of my clients were vaping all day, every day. They were absolutely addicted to nicotine. One might think that, like so many other drugs, vaping has become the bastion of troubled or difficult kids. Our A students who are involved in extracurriculars and have groups of friends would have no need for it. But they are just as likely to become addicted to nicotine in this way as anyone else. I find all kids, especially boys and young men, to be susceptible. And it's important to note that the initial age for vaping has dropped precipitously over the years. Now, it is not uncommon to find a sixth or seventh grader who vapes regularly. I began to find vapes, mods, and cartridges between the cushions of my couch every single week. That continues to this day. There's another element of the vaping epidemic that's important to recognize. Kids don't just vape nicotine. They can also vape marijuana. A lot of adults are unaware of the reality that these two drugs, in large part because of the similarity of the delivery systems, have become gateways to one another. Rarely will you find a teenager or young adult who vapes nicotine and does not vape marijuana, or vice versa. And hitting a vape becomes habitual and ritualistic very quickly. That is, I see kids hit vapes of all kinds unconsciously, but it adds to their addiction and potential health problems quite readily. And speaking of health problems, an ER doctor recently sent me chest scans of a recently deceased 90-year-old woman who had been smoking since she was a teenager. He also sent me scans of a 17-year-old boy who had been vaping for about 2.5 years, and the scans looked identical. My MD friends suggested that we are on the cusp of potentially severe upper respiratory and cardiovascular disease among our young people. So, I have come to loathe the idea of vaping. These things are very cleverly designed to elude parents. They are small and nearly odorless, and further, they virtually guarantee addiction. So, if you are a parent, or if you have influence over a young person in your life, talk to them about the dangers of vaping. Start young, and don't assume they don't know everything about it. In all likelihood, they do. Your opinion may not drive all of their behavior, but it does weigh heavily on what they do. Weigh in. Get your voice in the mix. You may be saving a child from a fixation, an addiction, or potentially a life-threatening illness. And my strong bias is that we all do what we can to eradicate vaping from the marketplace as soon as possible. Vaping and smoking are both bad for your overall health, but especially your lungs, and you need your lungs to breathe. Vape pens often contain ultrafine particles that get inhaled deep into your lungs and cause damage that will get worse as the years go on. The artificial flavorings and chemical additives have been shown to cause serious damage to lungs. It is sad to see anyone of any age pick up a habit that is unhealthy, but it is downright heartbreaking to see a teenager's life cut short because they were ensnared by a candy-flavored e-cigarette. We all know that habits start pretty casually, easily, and innocently, especially a kid's attraction to a product that tastes like a sugary treat. Let's set blame aside and just urge our friends, family, and loved ones to quit both cigarettes and vaping. Stopping a habit can be hard, but it is worth it. You are worth it. Dr. John Duffy. Part 1. Special Vaping Resources Section. Vaping of nicotine has reached epidemic levels among young people in America. Many young adults vape, but what makes this crisis even more urgent are the levels of uptake among users under the age of 18. Researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital found in a review of CDC data from 150,000 teens and preteens that the average age of first trying vaping is only 13 years old. And far from just being a try-it-once kind of experience, daily use reported by minors who vape rose from 20% of them in 2020 to 25% in 2021. This enormous increase reflects a truly frightening trend, since nicotine vaping can function as a gateway drug that raises the likelihood of a kid who vapes going on to not only develop a long-term nicotine habit, but use harder drugs. Of course, young folks aren't the only ones employing vaping technology to consume nicotine. Here are some resources which it is hoped will serve to assist anyone of any age who wants to stop. The Trouble with Vaping. What you need to know about vaping and why you should stop. These days, many of us think of nicotine vaping as something far less problematic than actually smoking or chewing tobacco. It doesn't make one's breath or clothes smell bad, and surely a little mist can't harm us the way clouds of tobacco smoke do, we may believe. What's the big issue? But the majority of the public likely isn't aware that some of these devices can deliver far more nicotine per day to users than even a three-pack-a-day cigarette habit, or that manufacturers of nicotine vaping liquid seem to go out of their way to give their products flavors designed for maximum appeal to kids, including quite young children. Vapes as a consumer offering have become so popular so quickly that regulators have struggled to keep up with issues ranging from toxic chemicals, other than nicotine, in the liquids vaporized to batteries that on occasion explode, causing fire and injury, and they are every bit as addictive as tobacco products. What is vaping? Vaping is when a handheld electronic device is used to heat a liquid, generating a mist of aerosolized droplets, aka vapor, that users inhale into their lungs. Excluding cannabis/THC vaping, this liquid is made up of a combination of nicotine with flavoring, propylene glycol, and other additives. The inhaled aerosolized particles can inflame and irritate the lungs, in some instances leading to lung damage like scarring and narrowing of the tubes that convey air in and out of the lungs. Some of the dangerous chemicals that the liquids sold in vape cartridges have been found to contain include carcinogens like formaldehyde and acetaldehyde, lung-damaging diacetyl, diethylene glycol, and acrolein, and heavy metals such as cadmium, nickel, tin, and lead. Vaping is becoming more and more common, As of 2020, the Centers for Disease Control report that over 9 million American adults used e-cigarettes, and more than 14% of high school students reported current use of the devices in 2022. Research has found that teenagers who vape are more likely to begin smoking tobacco cigarettes. Just as with tobacco smoke, secondhand exposure to vaping is also becoming widespread. And in the same way that cigarettes are not safe to use during pregnancy, vaping nicotine can cause brain and lung damage and low birth weight in the developing fetus. Although vaping nicotine is somewhat safer than smoking tobacco, in part because it exposes the user to a smaller number of dangerous chemicals than smoking, it's still bad for you.
While it isn't definitively understood exactly what chemicals vapes, aka e-cigarettes, put into the lungs, according to Michael Blaha, MD, Clinical Research Director of the Johns Hopkins Ciccarone Center for the Prevention of Heart Disease, there's almost no doubt that vaping exposes you to fewer toxic chemicals than smoking traditional cigarettes.
But Dr. Blaha doesn't want the public to underestimate the dangers of vaping. He explains, "Emerging data suggests links to chronic lung disease and asthma. There are also correlations of people who both vape and smoke with having a higher probability of heart disease. Side effects of vaping can include mouth and throat irritation, headaches, coughing, and feeling queasy. But besides the not yet well understood chemicals in the liquid base, vaping allows a person to take in quantities of nicotine, sometimes well in excess of what that person could inhale if smoking cigarettes. Nicotine, besides being highly addictive, is toxic. It causes adrenaline levels to spike, which brings on rapid heartbeat as well as elevating blood pressure. The more nicotine you take into your body, the more your risk of a heart attack rises, although it is possible to buy extra-strength cartridges for vape pens or boost their voltage to deliver a stronger dose of nicotine. Doing so maximizes the danger of an adverse health event occurring. At times, injuries and burns have also resulted from exploding batteries in vaping devices. You might be tempted to think that vaping could be a good way for you to break your attachment to cigarettes. However, research has found that most people who tried to quit cigarettes using vaping didn't actually ever stop smoking and vaping. Nicotine is not less addictive when delivered in vapor than it is in smoke. Its addictive qualities have been compared to those of crack cocaine, which are proverbially powerful. What happens when you stop vaping? In 20 minutes, your pulse and your blood pressure come back down to normal levels. In 3 days, all nicotine will have left your body. After 1 week, withdrawal symptoms like mood swings, headaches, and increased appetite for food will be greatly decreased, if not completely gone. Tips for quitting vaping. Make a list. Consider creating a list of reasons why you want to stop vaping. Revisit it daily or every so often to empower your sense of purpose as you leave behind this habitual behavior pattern. Set a date to quit. Do your best to find a time period when your stress levels will be at their most manageable. For example, avoid finals week or that big deadline push at your job. The day before your quitting day, one technique to try is completely switching which hand you use to hold your vape pen or e-cigarette from the hand you habitually use. This can help to rewire the sense of reliance on familiar sensations that one experiences while vaping. Avoid craving triggers. Try to avoid triggering situations where you would normally vape, or substitute other activities where possible. If you always end up vaping around certain people, consider how you can change that dynamic. Be ready for withdrawals, short-term sensations. Cravings are likely at first, along with headaches and possibly anxiety. Consider nicotine gum or patches to help blunt the edge at first. Your physician may be able to prescribe you medication that will ease this stage. Make a plan. Strategize in advance how you might handle it when cravings arise. Some people who quit play a game for a minute, chew a stick of gum, or take a moment outdoors to lower stress and get past the urge to vape, which is often very brief in duration. Brainstorm some options that could work for you and take note of which ones end up working the best. Distract yourself from temptation. Vaping urges, although sometimes intense, usually don't last that long. If you are able to distract yourself on purpose, that will help take your mind off the craving. Find something that is pleasantly distracting for you to do when an urge rears its ugly head. If you can shift your focus for even 1 or 2 minutes, chances are the urge will have passed. Get active. According to many experts, as well as the experience of many of those trying to quit vaping, exercise is a great way to banish those cravings. TikTok influencers and YouTubers have leaned in on the running, bicycling, or even surfing, as they find that physical activity really helps turn the tables on nicotine urges. Reach out for support. Just as it is key when quitting cigarettes, lining up support from sympathetic friends, family members, and anyone who's been through it before themselves can be crucial to succeeding at quitting vaping. Don't hesitate to ask for this kind of support. It's not weak to do so. It truly can make the difference to you getting your power back in relation to nicotine, and then you'll be able to extend an experienced helping hand to others. Joining in quitting challenges can offer a chance for fellowship with others embarking on their own stop vaping journeys. Young people who want extra support beyond their own personal network can join This Is Quitting by texting Ditch Vape to 88709. Lower your stress for success. Some people vape because they say it helps them feel better when they're stressed out. But what if, in truth, this intention tends to backfire? Research says that in reality, vaping can set up a vicious cycle of unease and cravings and may actually intensify anxiety and stress for many. To achieve freedom from the vaping habit, it's important to work to lower your stress in ways that don't involve vaping. Others quitting vaped nicotine have used techniques such as meditation, talking through it with others, time in nature, and journaling to get a handle on spiking stress. Celebrate your progress milestones. Those knowledgeable about the quitting process say there is an unexpected dividend to celebrating the steps you succeed in taking on your stop vaping journey. Doing so can boost your ability to resist cravings, as well as lowering the stress you experience. This is true even if the step you salute is just resisting the urge to backslide for a day. It can take a lot of strength and will to accomplish that. Try tracking your time steering clear of nicotine with an app like Escape the Vape. You can search on Quit Vaping in the Play Store or in Apple Apps, where you'll find many to choose from. Besides logging streaks of vape-free time, you can also add up the money you've saved and set goals, as well as tracking which milestones you've reached. Part 2. Personal Stories. Introduction to Real-Life Stories of People Who Have Quit. My Story. The refrigerator still held its accustomed 2-carton stock of cigarettes that cold December evening, just 5 days short of Christmas, when events mysteriously paved the way for my becoming a non-smoker. Members of my women's AA group had gathered at my apartment to bring the program to me because I had been ill and was unable to get to them. As we sat around the Christmas tree in my tiny living room, Rita began talking about her desire to quit smoking. She wanted to make that her gift to her family on that Christmas in 1976. Although the topic wasn't AA, it was quickly apparent that it was a first step issue. Rita was not the only one among us addicted to nicotine, and we easily saw the parallels between our struggles with alcohol and other drugs and the current struggle with cigarettes. It was true. All of our lives were controlled by our need to smoke wherever and whenever we could. I was personally startled when I enumerated the activities that demanded I smoke. Driving, talking with a friend, coffee, awaiting dinner or lunch or breakfast in a restaurant or at home, phone conversations or waiting on a call, leisure bathing in a tub, the morning alarm, the many visits to the bathroom throughout the day, reading a good or bad book for pleasure or class, writing a letter or a grocery list or a paper for one of my graduate courses, hurt feelings, anger, fear of abandonment, an actual or an imagined confrontation with a friend or lover, applying makeup, drying my hair, dressing for the day or evening, unwinding, preparing for bed, visiting with my higher power before turning out the light, cleaning house, outlining the day's activities, daydreaming and obsessive thinking about my life or him or what if. The list was endless. I was embarrassed, but I loved smoking. I felt supportive of Rita's desire to quit, but I was quite content to carry on as usual. When friends were in need, however, I was quick to offer an ear and sometimes unwanted advice. The next thing I knew, the words came tumbling out, but they weren't musts and shoulds. Rather, they were gentle suggestions coming from someplace deep within me. I heard myself speaking, but I wasn't sure who was formulating the ideas I was mouthing. Why not make a decision to be a non-smoker, Rita? A non-smoker doesn't grab for her cigarettes and lighter when the phone rings. A non-smoker can even go to the bathroom empty-handed or choose to go out for the evening, purseless or matchless. A non-smoker is free to make new choices about places to visit or activities to participate in because the first allegiance is to oneself, not to a pack of cigarettes. I truly didn't know where my message was coming from. I was simply the messenger, a steadily puffing messenger at that. Rita, I said, the desire for a cigarette doesn't even cross a non-smoker's mind. This person is free to focus on an engaging conversation, the chirping birds outside the open window, and the laughter of the children on the stairs. There is no resentment about not being able to smoke because one's identity is as a non-smoker. I knew that, plain and simply. A non-smoker isn't haunted by the urge to inhale the taste of tobacco. But I was just as certain at that moment that when a smoker quit, he or she felt deprived. After all, cigarettes were friends who comforted. Cigarettes brought relief. It was no wonder I felt this way. A decade earlier, in 1966, I had tried to quit smoking. I had not, however, changed my self-perception. Although I did not smoke for 6 years, I was still at heart a smoker who, damn it, didn't smoke anymore. What a relief when I finally let go of my control over it and took the plunge back into the haven of Cigaretteville. When I resumed smoking, it was with a vengeance. I was making up for lost time. It seemed almost based on anger. My consumption quickly escalated from one pack to nearly 3 packs daily, and never did I think of quitting again. Yet, here I was, sharing a bit of inner wisdom with Rita about the positive aspects of smoking no more. The subtle difference between quitting a loved addiction and becoming a new personality was not lost on me, however. Moments later, my speech ended, and so did that phase of my personal history. I very quietly put out my cigarette and have been a non-smoker ever since. I can't say that my physical body was as content with the new self-perception as was my mind. My body cried out for nicotine, loudly at times. I had heard that smoking muffled our feelings, but I didn't know how much, and I was to know a new level of rage. On not too rare occasions, in the first 3 months after I had quit, all 115 pounds of me startled others as well as myself when I contemptuously screamed at unsuspecting people who wandered across my path. "What do you mean I need to tell you what weight oil to put in my car? You work here, don't you?" But my self-talk saved me. At frequent intervals throughout each morning, each afternoon, and each evening, I took a few moments away from the people or task at hand to image myself as a smiling, confident non-smoker. Fortunately, I also had a higher power and a 12-step program for strength. I was soon to discover, however, that there wasn't great support from many of my friends and acquaintances in school, at work, or at my meetings. But the strength to continue on was sustained. And with each passing day, I more firmly filled the body and the shoes of my non-smoking self. I detected a healthy ego response, too. It exhilarated me that I had reclaimed some personal power over my identity. I had chosen a new posture toward life. I had chosen to quit killing myself a puff at a time. The natural deduction was that I was learning to love myself, a first step to loving someone else. When the old Karen tugged at me to return to the old ways, and she did frequently at first, but with lessening frequency as time elapsed, the new me was able to stand my ground. I was a non-smoker and so proud of it. I was free to sit where I wanted in restaurants. My hair and clothes no longer reeked of tobacco. My apartment didn't smell like a crowded bar any longer. And after washing my car and apartment windows, I was treated to a new brightness wherever I looked. With disgust, I wiped away the yellow nicotine stains from the glass protecting the many pictures hung throughout my apartment, and my commitment to my non-smoking life was strengthened. Who would have thought back in 1955 that this choice would capture me in 1976? I thought smoking was sexy then. I remember all too well riding down 9th Street with Barbara in her mother's white 2-door Chevy. Barbara needed both hands to steer and shift the car, so the cigarette dangled from her lips.
I took one from the red and white box top pack and waited for the car's cigarette lighter to pop out. My ears buzzed with the first deep draw, and my head felt light. But we giggled, feeling so smart and sophisticated. My first cigarette was at a slumber party in 9th grade, but that was just girl stuff and no inhaling. This was different. This was the real thing. We had a car,
a half tank of gas, and a full pack of Marlboros between us on the seat, and the evening was young. It was understood in my family that I'd be a smoker.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?